This is EAA Radio Live, and joining us on stage right now are three gentlemen who all have something in common, and I'll introduce them, and I'll see if you can figure out what it is. To my left, Sally Sullenberger. To my right, Chef Skiles. In the middle, Clay Presley. What is it that all three of these people have in common? Do you know?
I'm not sure anymore.
I know one thing that we have in common. I just verified that we're all three EAA members.
Okay, that's good. Well, to let you in on the secret, while Sully and Jeff were up front in the Airbus in flight 1549, Clay was in back. So today we're going to hear the flight story from a passenger's perspective and let you in on what was going on behind the cockpit door. Now, Clay, you said you were actually knocking on the door to get in?
Yeah, I was knocking on the door to get in. See if they needed any help.
So, Clay, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be on that flight that day.
I own a business in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was actually in New York on a business trip and just happened to be coming back that particular day. And I'll back up a couple of days before, because on Wednesday morning I was having breakfast with an associate of mine, and she was telling me about the worst flight of her life, which happened to be flight 1549 on Tuesday, 2 days before our crash, and emergency landing. And and she was telling me about, as they took off, all of a sudden there were these three big explosions and one of the engines quit working, and so they turned around. They were going to make an emergency landing back in LaGuardia, but the pilot was able to get the engine restarted, and they continued on to Charlotte. And it just so happened there was some sort of compressor problem with that particular engine, and I did check. They fixed it in between that day and Thursday, so not Tuesday and Thursday. So when we actually hit the birds, and it literally sounded like an explosion in the back, and we didn't really know what was going on. And I turned to my seatmate and said, you know, it's very interesting. My associate was telling me about the same situation on Tuesday where she ran in and there was an explosion and they got everything and restarted and everything was fine. So I went along on that premise for a while, and then one of the other passengers said, oh my God, the left engine's on fire. So I turned to him, I said, she didn't say anything about that, so I quit talking.
So the engine's on fire.
Yeah.
Now
so,
what?
Okay, the engine was on fire, and so as a passenger, I've flown so many times that, and so many times we have a safe landing on an airfield. And so the expectation was that this was just another bump in the road and everything was going to be fine. However, the explosion and the jolt of the airplane was so severe, I knew it wasn't something that was normal, because it was almost like we stopped in midair. And you have all the power and the thrust and the energy of that plane going forward, and what it felt like is all of a sudden it just stopped. And so that'll wake you out of your sleep for sure. And you're wondering what's going to happen, but you always have this confidence that it was going to be all right, because that's what you wanted to believe. And then after a few minutes, Sully came on and said, brace for impact. So the first thing you do is try to figure out, what is he talking about? And after a few minutes, or after a few seconds, you say, oh my gosh, he said we're going to crash. So you go through all these emotional feelings, and it's like your life, you hear about your life passing before your eyes, but within just a matter of seconds, you really realize what's important in life. And all the material things that you've accumulated over your lifetime aren't really that important at all. And actually, they're not even on the radar screen at that point. You think about your family. I'm married, so I think about my wife. I actually pulled out my BlackBerry and sent my wife a message, and all I said was, I love you. And I did it. I was still able to think fairly coherently, because I sent her that message because I knew that if we got out of this alive, that I would have a chance to explain it. I knew that if we didn't get out of it, that she would know what I was talking about.
Excuse me, this was the BlackBerry that was supposed to be turned off after you left the gate?
Exactly.
And they thought it was the birds that caused all this.
I think you're busted.
I know. I think me along with about every other passenger on the flight. But so we continued, and I guess it was about 90 seconds, right? Right, Sully? After he said brace for impact. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. At first, when, you know, you hear that explosion, and you think, oh, my gosh, we're gonna die in an explosion in a plane crash. And so you're kind of sitting there waiting for the next thing to happen. Explosion. Then somebody says the left engine's on fire. Then you're thinking, oh, my gosh, you're going to burn up in the airplane. And then Sully banks and starts going over the river. And I said, oh, we're going to drown at this point now. So when they banked the airplane, I could actually see that we were headed toward the river at that point in time. And initially, I thought that he was going to try and land at Newark. And then I saw the Jersey Cliffs start getting higher and higher on the window, and I knew that we would never make Newark, so that we would end up in the river. But all of this time, you're in a position where you have a opportunity to choose. You can either choose to panic, or you can choose to control yourself, because you're not in control of anything else. And I think that was probably the hardest thing for me to come to grips with, is that I'm sitting here. I run my own business. I'm always in control of everything. At this point, you know, you're not in control, only of yourself. So I start thinking about what are the things that I can do to make it better. And if we are going to land in the river, what can I do? I realize I start counting the rows between me and the emergency row. I start thinking about the plane in Africa that was hijacked and ended up trying to land in the water, and it clipped a wing and they cartwheeled and a lot of passengers ended up dying. But I'm thinking about what happens if the plane flips over. Where's the water going to come from? What do I need to do? I need to take a deep breath. And so all of those things are going through your mind. All of the things that you can do to make yourself feel better and make yourself feel like you are going to be able to do something that is going to help you survive. Because you reach a point where you kind of accept the fact that you're probably going to die. And there's a real calm feeling that comes over you at that point in time. And I guess it's the adrenaline or whatever takes over and blocks out all of the negative feelings after that. Everything after that is like, okay, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to probably die, but in the meantime, I'm still going to continue to try to fight through this and whatever I can to help myself, that's what I'm going to do. And I suspect that almost all of the passengers felt the same thing.
So what was it like in the cabin when you actually touched down?
When we touched down, actually, it was a fairly hard landing. But it was like, I think it was like a hard car accident. I've never been in a real tough car accident, but that's what it felt like. And to me, it almost felt like they were three times that we hit. Obviously, when the tail hit first, that was the hardest, and that threw everybody forward. And then when the middle of the plane came down and then the front of the plane came down, you felt each time that happened. And then all of a sudden, the plane made a sharp turn to the left. And to me, that was the scariest part, because I was concerned that it was going to flip at that point in time. But once we hit and once we settled into the water, it was like nobody knew what to do, because everybody was still in shock. So you sat there for maybe a second and a half or 2 seconds, kind of waiting, because up until this point, these guys had been in control. Now it was time for us to kind of take over and do what we were supposed to do. And the flight attendants were very good about urging everybody, okay, let's get the doors open, let's get out of your seats and get out of the plane. So that's what we did. I mean, immediately, my wife's always accused me of being the first one to jump up once the plane lands, and I'll promise you, I probably was the first one to jump up that day and get out of my seat. The one thing, I was in 15D. The emergencies, I think, are 10 and 11, if I'm not mistaken. So I jumped up, and I failed to take my cushion with me, the flotation device that we had, my seat cushion, nor did I reach under the seat and pull out my life jacket. I just wanted to get off the plane. And when the door opened, finally, after a couple of seconds, everybody said, open the doors. So the folks at the doors did a wonderful job getting them out, throwing them out the window. But when that light came through, there was a tremendous amount of relief, and that came off of everybody's shoulders, because we realized we should be able to get out those doors. Well, at some point, we all should be able to get out those doors. So I worked my way up to the wing, and if you think about what the flight attendants always tell you, they always tell you, go down the ramp and get away from the plane. So most of the people, all of the people in front of me on the left wing that went out that exit jumped in the water first. And fortunately, I had not taken my seat cushion, because I probably would have done the same thing at that point in time. But I couldn't quite bring myself to get into the water. My old Boy Scout days kicked in, and it said, nope, don't go there. Just ease yourself out on the wing. And the people behind me were wanting me to get out of the way. So the only place I had to go at that point was the wing. So I started edging myself out on the wing. And obviously more and more people started doing the same thing as opposed to going into the water. The water that day, I think, was around 36 degrees, and the air was about 20 degrees. So it was pretty cool.
Cool, but not in a good way, right? Well, Clay, we're glad you're sharing your story. We're going to take a quick break and come back. And when we do, we'll talk a little bit more about, we've got you out on the wing, find out what happened after that, and then how the three of you got reconnected and how aviation has played a role in that. You're listening to EIA Radio Live.